There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you here. Phone number, it hadn't changed. But if you're new to the show, the phone and text line are the same. Well, the same numbers. 343-0106. 343-0106. Also with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us one of those talkback messages by hitting that microphone icon on the front page of the app. Right, a lot to do on today's show. And I did say something at the end of Jeff's show that I'm feel good after the first weekend of our college pick'em contest. You know, I've been doing it for years here. And we're in, and by the way, so everybody knows, great grand prize from Spring Hill Ace Hardware, over $1,500. But like Dan and Dalton, myself and Jeff and all of us that play in it, we can't win the prize. We're in here just to talk trash to each other. You're the ones who can win that prize. If you haven't seen the details, go to fmtalk1065.com. You will. But I remained in the top 100, I think number 92 here, college pick'em, even though game I thought was going to be a sure thing for my alma mater didn't go that way. So as I say that, I bring on the man whose alma mater did win on Friday night. It's Todd Stacey. He is the emperor at Alabama Daily News and also the host of Capital Journal and one of the busiest men in Mobile media. I mean, in Alabama media. It's Auburn guy, Todd Stacey.
How's it going, Sean?
Fine. Go ahead. Go ahead. I told Jeff, thankfully, I was on top of Mount LeConte in the Smokies. We had hiked up there and we're staying overnight up at 6,500 and something feet. I thought it'd be away from the TV. And then people's phones were working and they were giving me play-by-play reports up there. And I wanted to just, I don't go crawl in a cave somewhere.
Well, look, I understand, but obviously Auburn has been there. And I would be foolish to try to, you know, gloat considering, you know, just how bad Auburn's been over the last two, 3 years. But it was a good feeling to go on the road, finally have a quarterback that was, you know, completing passes really fast. I mean, that guy's as fast as Cam Newton probably. But, like, it was just a good feeling to finally do what Auburn's supposed to do. I know it's disappointing for Alabama fans. I mean, I've been talking to my Alabama fan friends all weekend. And they're just – it's hard to deny just based on what – happened that they're just not the same. And it's also a reminder of just how good of a coach Nick Saban was.
Yeah,
this is a conversation I had with my buddy Stephen Boyd. I was like, the recruits are the same. The Saban,
super talented. Yeah,
right. The Saban difference was not just recruiting. Of course he dominated recruiting, but these are the same caliber of players that he always got. There was a difference though in the hustle, the mentality, the killer instinct. I think that has more to do with Nick Saban than it does with Kalen DeBoer, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, and I don't know that, you know, looking at the way this all plays out, I mean, he could have done maybe a couple more years, but I don't think Nick Saban and NIL are a good combination. I mean,
yep.
You see the personalities that come out. I mean, I'd have had the same personality, too, if you'd been paying me that kind of money when I was 19 or 20 years old, but I don't think that kind of team mentality and the process and all that that Saban worked on would have had a lot of trouble in the NIL world.
I agree, and Saban always talked about how one of his favorite parts of coaching is why he came back to college is developing players over a period of years, right, and developing them to where they're going to the NFL and all that. That's what he really enjoyed. Well, that goes out the window with transfer and NIL. So I agree with you. He was. And I would still like to see some reforms to that because it is, I mean, just watching an entire weekend of college football and just trying to keep up with who's going where. I mean, it seemed like every time somebody made a tackle, it was, oh, that's the transfer from what's it? It's like, okay. Anyway, it's I know it's not fun right now, but y'all also got to remember, Bama fans got to remember, you've had a uniquely successful run, like maybe never been done before. So remember that, or we've had it pretty good for a long time.
Yeah, the pendulum always does swing eventually. All right, I want to talk about what's going on over at Alabama Daily News. And I guess I first saw this post when you put it up on Twitter today, but it pictures do help. I'm in the world of spoken word, but pictures do help. We talked about earmarks coming to congressional districts in Alabama, but Alex Angle did this for y'all. This is a picture of where the money's coming to. I thought this was interesting. Talk about this story.
Yeah, so earmarks are congressionally directed spending, right? You put certain earmarks in an appropriations bill to say, okay, this money needs to go back home to my district for this project. And lawmakers tend to work together through the delegation, you know, to get this and that for, you know, to bring back home the bacon. It's just the way it's called. A lot of people don't like that, but in the actuality, it actually works better because otherwise you're depending on the executive branch and they might not have the same priorities. So it's actually a good thing. And the Article 1 gives Congress the authorization to the purse strings. So Alex put together, you know, she's our reporter in D.C., and she went through everybody's lists of earmarks to see what projects are going where, who got the project, right? Whether it was Katie Britt or Tommy Tuberville or Robert Aderholt or whoever. And just a really great map that kind of labels everything. So you can just go on and see what, you know, here's, I'm looking at it right now. It says there's a runway extension for the Chilton County Airport. That's $3 million. Okay, that's thanks to Katie Britt. I'm seeing down there in your neck of the woods, cybersecurity and research for U.S. port operations. That was Barry Moore, $1.5 million. So you can just go on and see who all is bringing home what. Now, all this is not guaranteed because they actually have to get these things in the spending bills. They're having trouble doing that right now. There's always a spending fight in Washington. But we'll know by the end of the month if these things are truly coming to fruition.
Yeah, y'all can check those out and see the size of the circles. And it was just interesting to see, you know, where it, who had bigger circles than other areas in the state.
Well, and yeah, it's you're looking up north towards Anniston.
They're big.
They're pretty big. That's what happens when you're the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee and, you know, maybe only a couple more terms left in Congress. So, yeah, Rogers cleaned up this time.
Yeah, it looks like I remember in school when we would learn, like, the size of the planets. They'd show the comparison. You know, you'd say, you see Jupiter or Mars or Venus or, like, you could compare them in size. That's what it looked like to me. Y'all got to go check that out.
That's a lot of gravity, and not to mention...
It's a lot of gravity. I like that.
Speaking of gravity, it's I did notice the Boll Weevil Circle Project in Enterprise. Who do you think got that? Of course, Katie Britt.
Yes.
So anyway, helps to have sway.
Yes, it does. All right. Well, we talk about revenue, and this will be revenue in the state, not coming from the feds. State sales tax on most grocery items declined by 1 percentage point. So it's now 2% today, or that was I guess Friday or Saturday.
It was Monday. Yeah.
Oh, so, it was yesterday. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, went into impact. So, you know, we've been talking about the grocery tax. It's only 4% at the state level, but that really adds up. Mm-hmm. And there's been, really for the last 25 years, an effort to try to do away with it. The reason why that's tough is because you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in tax revenue that goes towards education. Nobody likes to cut education funding. But they've taken the stair-step approach to it, and now that second penny has come off. So over the last, 3 years, the state has cut the sales tax on groceries in half. So that's a really big deal. I mean, if you had told me that 20 years ago, I'm not sure I would have believed you. So it's a big accomplishment for this legislature and the governor.
Well, I think if you look at it, and I was pushing for it for a long time, and it just bipartisan, nonpartisan, whatever term you want to use, it affects Alabamians across the board, right? And people say, well, people that are low income, they're already getting this. This is not for people on assistance. This is for people that are working, you know, that they're not using SNAP. They're going in and using their own money to buy the groceries, but they're barely getting by. this, and people go, well, what does 4% matter, Sean? Go look at somebody's budget who's, at the end of the month, they got 36 cents left in their checking account. That's what it matters.
Yeah, it really does. It adds up. And, I mean, I see people in the grocery store looking at prices and making decisions, you know? We all can take it for granted sometimes. It's a meaningful cut. It's one of those interesting issues that both people on the left and people on the right are absolutely for. Now, you do have some concerns about, you know, revenue and things like that. I don't think.
But I mean, I hear these. How true is that? I mean, I hear like, you know, ETF. If we do this, we're taking away from the kids. But the ETF budget's what, three times the size of the general fund? I mean, it's pretty big.
Oh yeah, they had this hearing the other day, and I actually asked Chairman Arthur Orr about that very question. You know, how's the ETF looking? And the revenues are fine right now. The problem is there have been kind of cut by cut by cut. All these tax cuts that are popular, and there's a reason for them, but they kind of all add up over time. And he's like, yeah, you can only do so much to win, because we're a very low tax state to begin with, and you know that every time you cut a tax, you've got to deal with the revenue situation. And nobody wants to go back to those days of proration, which we won't. We won't. We're in a better financial situation than we've ever been in this state. I'm just saying that's what happens. There are less goodies to give out come legislative session when there's less revenue. That's just a fact of life.
Right. People want to read these stories we talked about and a whole bunch more. How do they get that email in their inbox 6 days a week?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage where you'll see all these stories we're talking about. But yeah, you need to get yourself on the email list. You can sign up right there on the homepage. Just enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
All right. And in addition, if people want to, Capital Journal was discussed already on the air today. If they want to go back and see what everybody's talking about or check out Capital Journal, how do they do it?
You really ought to, because we had these exact same conversations with the chairman of the general fund, Greg Albritton, and chairman of the education fund, Arthur Orr. Just go to YouTube. That's the easiest way. YouTube, look up Capital Journal, and hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode.
Great stuff, Todd. As always, I appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, there goes Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal. Come back, grab your text at 343-0106. Also coming up, April Marie Fogle joins us about 12:35. Be right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:23 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Yeah, Ryan Ruth could have represent himself in trial. What could go wrong there? Does it tell you? Guys, not right for sure. All right, this segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Trey at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. 18 years plus now getting junk gone in Mobile and Baldwin counties. They're really good at it. He and his family team are real good at getting that junk gone. Could be from your house. Could be around your house, too. And a reminder here, big things they can tackle as well. Above ground pools, storage buildings, swing sets, those kind of things you need gone, they can haul those away. Also, do boxes in the attic or a garage full of junk, whatever, or a storage unit, or maybe at your office. Anywhere you got junk, you've been like walking around, we got to get rid of this stuff. Well, do it with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And it's easy, too. They set actual appointments, which, if y'all have heard me over the years, I think it's pretty cool. When you call them, their name is the number 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or go to their website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They'll work with you to find the day and the time you want to get it done. They show up, you're there, you point at the junk you want gone. You'd be like, oh, that stuff over there, these things over here, and that other stuff over there. And they'll quote your price right there on the spot. You say yes, they get to work and get it done right then. So check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or the name is the number. Give Trey a call at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Right, grab a few texts here, and and then April Marie joins us here in just a little bit. Let's see, Chris in Orange Beach, in your humble opinion, who looks more like a deer in the headlight, our coach or quarterback? Roll Tide. The coach, you know, it's... When did he know? This is something we were talking about on the way back and driving home yesterday. When did DeBoer know that he didn't have this team together to be able to beat FSU? We'll leave it to the, we'll leave it right there because Chris, because April Marie, big FSU person, so I'm going to have to hear from her in the next segment about this. Let's see. Fire Dog says, my college got trashed by Utah, so I feel for you, my friend. They did. That was like, what, 30-point win or something like that? David, it is not the job of politicians to pass out goodies during the legislative session. It's the job of politicians to take the least amount of my money they need to have a properly functioning government. There you go. Gosh, that sure sounds like, which I know you are, a libertarian bent, which I like, David. Let's see. Terry said, food is a human need and right. Why do we need to pay the government for permission to eat? The state not only needs to do away with the state tax on food items, they need to ban all other political subdivisions from taxing food as outlined in the SNAP eligible guidelines. Terry, you know, you don't have to preach to me on that. That is one where I've talked about, and we are a state, listen, we're a state that is carried by sales tax, right? It's a big deal, but the food thing, and every time I talk about during the debates about this and all that, and I'd mention how big of a proponent I am of removing the sales tax on groceries, right? And people say, well, listen, the people with SNAP, they don't need any extra. It's not for the SNAP. These aren't the people paying with the benefit card. These are the people who are paying with cash dollars that they work for. And when you start looking at, I mean, if I drive by the Winn-Dixie on the way to my house, somehow $100 comes out of my pocket, even if I don't go in, you know? I mean, you go in there, it's $187, and you're like, what did I get? It's expensive. So, I mean, lucky that I don't have to, you know, the $40 is not going to change my life, but I remember in my 20s it did. And you think about that, you have, what is the tax exposure for grocery buying for working poor in Alabama? Not people, but the working poor. The people are doing it right. We want to get them a leg up. We want to get them a better life. That money means a lot. It is a regressive tax. It is one that is, so Terry, I'm complete agreement with you. Joey says, yes, cutting grocery tax is helping, but what about ending overtime tax? We're going to hit the people that are going above and beyond in an already low workforce participation world. I agree. Joey, I agree. Make sure before session starts again, you make your representatives aware of your feeling on that. It is an encouraging thing, right? You're working more, but it's an incentive to work more. Same way, if you worked more and then more of that money, you bought the groceries your family needs. You know, if you go out and buy. Hey, listen, sales tax is always going to drive a big part of what we do in the state, but let it be carried on things you don't have to have. And maybe even subdividing inside the grocery store things you don't have to have, right? I try to, for my health, spend my time on the outer ring of the grocery store, those things, versus the inner part. But maybe you do something like that. But if you're buying the stuff you need to feed your family, if we're going to ever have we have tax abatements for big businesses coming in. How about a tax abatement for people that are working, doing it the right way, that are trying to buy groceries to feed themselves and their family? Let's see. Jerry, downtown Fort Morgan. Jerry, you hear about the snapper news? Do you? Is Todd, and then he asks this, is Todd related to Quinn on his mother's side? I don't think so. I don't think they're kin. Ben just sent me, Ben, I thought you would reach out to me over the weekend, but I was limited cell signal where I was, so Ben sending me, who is a big FSU fan, sending me a picture there. Thank you. Fire Dog, 33-point loss by UCLA, but who's counting? Maybe that was the number of tears I cried. And Michael says, I'm fine with sales taxes, but get rid of the income taxes like our neighboring state. Sales taxes are fair taxes. No. If you look at the percentage of income, right, Michael, the percentage of income that is that has to be given to food and shelter, right? If somebody makes $25,000 and somebody makes $125,000, they're all eating food. What percentage of their income is going to the food thing? I mean, it's not the same. Right, I pick this up later on the show. We're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. 343-0106 for a call or a text. And a reminder, too, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us one of those talk back messages. All right, read her work over at 1819news.com. She is the guest host in residence here at FM Talk 106.5 and also battling it out with chipmunks and other critters around her house in Birmingham. It's April Marie Fogle, and the crowd goes wild. Yo, April Marie.
Woohoo! We now have a possum. So it's now chipmunks and possums trying to take over my life.
Chippies and grinners. So you got a grinner, and most likely, you know, if there are two grinners around, you're going to have more, right? They're going to do the babies. Yeah, it's going to be. And the kids love to see the babies hanging on.
I can't tell if there's two or if it's just. Oh, I can't tell if there's two or just one. I see it on my security camera at night. I'm going to hope it's just one.
Possums just be doing possum stuff. They're, you know, out of all the critters, and, you know, I don't know, they're not going to be destructive. The chipmunks, like, possums do get in attics, but not with the regularity of a chipmunk getting in the house, you know, so just letting you know.
The problem with the possums is they'll get in the trash.
Yeah, but you got to keep the, Yeah, they do, but you got to keep the trash closed, and then they can't get in. Just keep a top on the trash.
Yeah, the boys are responsible for the trash.
So when the possum gets into it, I'll tell you what stops that. And dogs and all that, if they don't do it correctly, the parenting lessons I learned, and I don't know if I passed them on too well, but if I didn't do something correctly and it led to garbage being out and on the street, guess who went and picked up all the nasty garbage? Me. So I made sure next time not to do that.
I think they've done that once, but that's a very fair thing. If you mess up, if you don't put the bag in right and it's open, and then I wake up in the morning, Sean, this is why we talk. We talk so that you can impart such wisdom.
Yeah, I mean, it's a distinct effect on the young man to have to go do something like, oh, this is so gross. Mm-hmm. You do that a couple times, you go, you know what? I'm going to make sure this doesn't happen again. So, just an idea. All right. Sure. Also, your Seminoles, your Seminoles not only beat, ran the spear through my Crimson Tide.
I tweeted out, or X'd out, whatever the heck it is,
posted.
I got this auto program on my cell phone that I've had for as long as I can remember, where if I type in FSU, it does like the chant. It spells it out, FLORIDA. So I was just sending that to everyone I know. I wasn't even like a good sport about it. I was just being mean by the end of it. And I was saying off air, it was his 9th birthday on Friday. And so we went away for the weekend and did not have cell coverage for, you know, basically from just before halftime to the last 2 or 3 minutes. And so there was no gloating in between, but then I came back and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was, that was the opposite of that. So, so there you go. We'll see. Down the road, I don't know next time we play, but we'll probably have a new coach by then, and we'll see what happens. All right. I do want to talk about the story you had texted me about. And I saw this as well, and I saw when the story came out, they had made arrest in this story out of Houston. The ding-dong ditch and the shooting and killing of an 11-year-old child, a boy, here. If anybody needs to know, so the two people talking right now, April Marie and I, it's almost as 2A as they come. April Marie might be even stronger 2A than I am. And I'm fairly strong, but a 2A person. But this brings up stuff that has come up in the past. This guy that the suspect, they said the kids came up and did the ring the doorbell thing, which I think kids have been doing forever. Not that this is encouraged, but they've been doing forever. A guy comes out of the house and shoots this kid.
Oh, follows him. Follows him at, like, off his property and shoots.
And shoots the kid.
In the back.
That is, there's nothing. There's no stand your ground, castle doctrine. There's not. Don't give me any of that crap. This is a murder.
This is a murder, and that's what you know. I'm watching online, and it's, I will say most every Second Amendment supporter I know is condemning this, right? Because this is one of the situations where just because you have a firearm doesn't mean you use it, right? There are times when you are literally scared for your life, when somebody, you know, is threatening you in your
deadly
your
force, home. Defending your life from deadly force, or the life of an innocent. That's it.
Correct. And so that's it. This is not you vandalized. This is not.
I'm mad at them.
Angry at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's legitimately what murder charges are for. And so, yeah, there's no defense to this. And here's the thing. I'm scared is also not a defense.
You're not scared when you walk out. You're not scared when you walk down the street past this. I've had this debate. This debate came up on the show years ago. Somebody said, we're talking about theft. And they said, well, if I saw somebody stealing, I think it was a boat motor, down the street from me, I'd shoot him. I'd say, well, then you'd be a murderer. And like, well, you don't believe in Second Amendment. I said, I believe in it all day long. What you're talking about is murder. There is a difference.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the other thing is property can be replaced.
Yeah, you don't get to shoot somebody because of it. You may want to, but you don't get to.
Absolutely. If a scumbag comes and, like, is going to steal my vehicle, but they are not trying to come into my home, and I go out there and shoot them, I don't have the right to do that. They're taking my property. They're not trying to take my life or the life of a loved one. And so this seems like a very cut and dry. The guy was lawfully had firearms. Okay. But they stopped being lawful the minute he used them in the commission of a crime.
100% agree. I mean, this is one of the things we talk about is with the right, the God-given right, for a second, comes responsibility.
Absolutely. And that is something that is, again, I would say the overwhelming majority, 99% of Second Amendment supporters will tell you that you know your responsibility is to secure your firearm, making sure no children can get it, making sure it's not, you know, oh well, let me reach my hand in your vehicle and take it while it's unattended, making sure you're using it properly, you're trained properly, you're practiced properly, all of those things. This is an important part of exercising that right.
100%. So yeah, when y'all hear that story, I mean, this is because at first, like so many of these, I heard it and I saw people came out one way and I said, well, maybe we don't have all the information, right? You know, just hold on. Let's make sure we... Then when it came out with the full description from Houston Police Department, I was like, yeah, that was not... That was not standing your ground. That was not defending yourself.
And I am a huge supporter of Castle Doctrine and Stand Your Ground. I support it in Florida when they were extending Castle Doctrine beyond just your home to say your vehicle. So if you're in your vehicle and, you know, and your life is threatened, so you're in a car, you know, carjacking situation, or you're in a riot situation, they're surrounding your car, they're breaking the glass, they're doing the things, you have the right to stand your ground. So that works for your home, that works for your vehicle. That does not work for you chasing an unarmed, nonviolent person through the streets.
Child, 11-year-old child rang your doorbell.
And here's the thing is, parents, our kids need to be able to do these things. These childhood things, the, you know, you can't really do prank calls much anymore, right? They're not landlines. Every now and again, I'll let my kids prank call at a hotel. but you can't prank call anymore. The least we can do is let them live through ding-dong ditching.
Yes. And I mean, listen, and if old boy there, that they arrested the suspect, if he'd have snatched somebody up, and, you know, there'd probably be some charge, but he snatched him up by his T-shirt and carried him back to mom and dad. Well, those are the risks of the ding-dong ditch. Not getting murdered.
Exactly. When I was a kid, we would do phone calls. We would do ring the doorbell and run. I don't think it was actually called ding dong ditch. We would just ring the doorbell and run. I had toilet paper in houses. That was a thing. little Johnny stole Sally's girl, or, you know, Sally from Bobby, we'd go TP Johnny's house. Nobody expected to get shot back then. And so this is one of those cases where there's no defense.
100%. People want to continue this conversation with you online, or maybe I see here on the text line your FSU comrades here want to join in. Where's the best way to find you online?
X is the place. It's APRYLNARIE. And I do want to give a shout out to the story I worked on the week through the weekend on, which is this guy in Homewood who was charged with arson at the Walmart. You guys check that out.
Yeah, that's
trending on 1819 News.
Yeah, y'all will see you talking about if premeditated? Yeah. It kind of lays out
premeditated. He left the store and he put charcoal and blankets or rags and then accelerant and then actual accelerant on it, left the store and then came back and it was lit on fire. So talk about indefensible. BLM, this is a terrorist organization. SPLC should be naming this a terrorist organization.
Don't hold your breath. All right.
All right, you take care. Thanks for having me.
There goes April Marie Fogel. And you read that story over at 1819news.com. And it's like the guy, the premeditated part, he sets this up and then he leaves and then he comes back and then he sets it on fire. It's like not even heat of the moment stuff. It's like doing it, then coming back and setting it up and going from there. So, all right, 343-0106, 343-0106 gets you through. Also, we'll get to your text here coming up in a couple minutes. I'll give you a heads up about my buddies out at Stone Arms. This is a great time all the time. If you've been thinking about getting a silencer, you know, be shooting suppressed out there, to go through the process, the expedited process with the kiosk at Stone Arms. Like I've told you, for years I kind of was working on getting my tax stamp, my green light from the feds to do this. And, well, I didn't get it all done because you had to go one place to get your fingerprints, another place to get the passport light photos. Then you had to fill out this form and it had to be, you know how government forms are. Like there's no, like you have to do it exactly perfectly. And if they don't, they just send it back and you have to do it again. So it was taking me forever. Wasn't getting it done. My buddy Jeff at Stone Arms said, hey, Sean, come out here. I got a kiosk. You can go bing, bing, bing through the process. It'll take you 30 to 45 minutes to get it done. It took me about 20. But it's a kiosk on the wall there in Stone Arms. And it's a can't miss. You put your information in. It takes your fingerprints there. They do the photo, the whole nine. And it gets sent off to the feds. And you can get that green light for if you want to shoot suppressed. And I've thought about that a lot. Like all time of year, it's great. I told you for shooting, it makes it a lot more fun. Obviously, not wearing hearing protection, but also takes out a little bit of that concussion of center fire ammo. Just makes it, I shoot more rounds when I'm shooting like that. It's just more comfortable overall. In addition, though, I started thinking about this time of year, even if you're not a big shooter or shooting your modern sporting rifle, we'll call it, or whatever it is, coming up on deer season, how many times have y'all shot in a shooting house or a stand or whatever with no hearing protection, right? Because I carry hearing protection. Yeah, are you going to stop if that, you got a shot that's pretty fast or it's toward the runt and the buck's running by? You're going to stop and put on your hearing protection? No, you're going to shoot. Over time, that does damage. You get your deer rifle and get your suppressor. They'll do the gunsmithing work at Stone Arms, put it on there, and you're shooting that way out in the woods. And it's a great thing. So check them out online, stonearmsinc.com, or see them in person. They're just a little bit west of Snow on Airport Boulevard, about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport. And check them out. Go by and tell Jeff and the gang I said hello, or I might see you in there. All right? Stonearmsinc.com is the website. Coming right back. News is next.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:52 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Yeah, it heard Devin's update from WKRG about the Powerball. Now it's going to have a Wednesday, so tomorrow night, right? Tomorrow night drawing for Powerball, up to, I don't know, it was over $1 billion when we bought yesterday. Yeah. Yeah, yesterday, coming in, going through, I guess we were still in Tennessee, there in Chattanooga, and bought the quick pay. I don't have any numbers or anything. It's funny, when I walk up, I so rarely do this. I'm like, how does it work? Like, it used to be, is it $2? Which one's $2? I mean, I don't know. You know, they have to explain it to me, which is kind of funny. Probably amuse the people behind me in line, because I don't do a lot of lottery or any. About as far, that's the, in lottery, the, you know, the wine spritzer of the gambling world, about as far in as I go. But yeah, so I'm pretty much, y'all can, I mean, you can go buy some more tickets between today and tomorrow night and beef it up some more, but I'm going to win the thing. So, you know, I've already figured out, I already had a little bit of the money spent. There's one ranch, it's not bad. It's 15,000 contiguous acres. Then you've got, all the infrastructure on it. I'm running a big ranching operation already, plus great fishing and all that stuff. So I've already got that one worked out. I think, and they brought it down. They discounted it. It's now just $45 million. So $45 million is going to go to buy that ranch, and then I have to figure out what to do with the other. I don't know, after taxes, I'll be looking at $500, $600 million. It'll be good. I'll work that out. If I don't show up one day, here, you'll know, oh, that must have hit for him. Right, let's go to the text line here. First up, David said, beer should still be taxed at the sale. Well, that's one thing we could talk about. I know you're making a statement there. Of course, it's going to be taxed. But inside, let's say grocery items. If you wanted to say, hey, you know what? We'll still, if the state needs this money so badly, you buy the stuff inside the store, not on the outside ring, the meat and dairy and produce, then maybe it still is sustained there if you want to go get some ho-hos or something like that. But on what it takes to live, how that's a defensible thing. Jerry had said, explain the difference between the grocery tax now and what it would have been with the law that passed before. Well, it would have been, so we've reduced it here, right? It went from, so, and there's two parts of it. You'll say, well, Sean, it's 10% in Mobile. Okay, but you have state tax, you have local tax, right? So we're talking about the state's portion. Start off at 4%, and then it went to 3% in 2023. And I really thought it was going to get hung up there and not drop any further, because they had a thing that if the revenues weren't at X, then they wouldn't drop it. But it has dropped again to 2%. So it's been cut in half. And when you hear, I'll tell you how much money we're talking about. When you hear the people crying out that it's going to destroy the ETF here, you start seeing what they say they didn't get. ETF, by the way, revenues are still up, which is why they let it drop. But they say it's like $122 million decrease to state coffers because of the drop in the grocery sales tax. Okay, that's $122 million that people saved buying the essentials of life. I mean, I know government has to run. I'm not a fool. Government has to run. But if you're looking at where to get money from, letting people who are working, these aren't on assistance. These are people working. They've got to eat just like the Jimmy Raines from Yellow. They all got to eat. But it's a bigger portion of their income buying groceries. That's where we should have protection for those people from taxes. Jerry also went on to say, Sean, you made me remember one of those life-changing moments when you talked about picking up the garbage. I had the opportunity of cleaning out garbage trucks in Chickasaw, Alabama, after the chief of police caught me speeding down the street. Were you on Wesley? People used to haul butt down Wesley. Yeah, I lived Chickasaw for years. It does, you know, that was, it's a great learning thing that if you would do things in not the right way in my house, you'd be given a chore and you wouldn't do it, and then it resulted in something that was not fun. Well, then when you had to go mitigate, and you probably had to go spell mitigate for mother as well, when you go mitigate what you had done or not done, well, it helps burn in the memory. And then you go, you know what, next time I'm going to do it properly. Dirt Digger said, when Nick Saban was coach, we were at the high tide. Now it seems to be low tide. I will be happier when we are back at high tide, but still roll tide roll. Always roll tide roll. I'm with you. It's where I went to school. It's where my degree's from. You're not going to change that. But it is an interesting situation to say, well, what would Saban be doing in the same position. I think he would be obviously more successful than DeBoer is, but could a Nick Saban personality exist in this NIL world? I don't know. I mean, it's kind of contrary to the idea of team and everybody pulling for each other and, you know. All right, coming back, get your calls and texts, 343-0106. Got possum text in here. Good. We'll talk about old grinners in the mix.